NASA 557, contact tower 128.15.
Caution, caution. Manual, fuel, manual, fuel.
I'm John Golia.
I'm Greg Fife.
And I'm Todd Curtis.
And we are the Flight Safety Detectives.
Between us, we have over a century of aviation accident investigation and safety experience to draw on as we discuss issues that affect all of us.
So we are qualified to share our perspectives on accidents and incidents and what can be learned from them for the future.
We're proud to say that we have two sponsors that really relate to the topic of aviation safety: the Professional Aviation Maintenance Association, or PAMA, and Avemco Insurance. Later on in the show, we'll tell you how you can get a 5% discount on your insurance just for listening to the show.
We don't just dissect the official reports. In every episode, we identify safety issues and take the mystery out of accident investigations.
So maybe pilots and their planes can have safer flights ahead.
The Flight Safety Detectives is bringing on a new sponsor, Piston Powered, a power-by-the-hour program for owners of piston-powered aircraft that can stabilize the long-term cost of owning your airplane.
Well, hello, Todd.
Hello, John.
How are you today?
Well, doing just fine, unlike some of our compatriots in Southern California who are going through a living hell over the last few days, as the entire world knows by now. And this is, as you can figure, a special edition of the show, because not only is this a tragedy, it's being made worse by unwise and disruptive behavior by someone who was flying a drone. A couple of days after the fire started in earnest, there were a number of firefighting aircraft flying in the LA area, putting out fires all over the metropolitan area, including one specialized aircraft from Canada, which is designed from the ground up to be a water bomber. It's an amphibious aircraft. It could skim on the top of lakes or oceans, as it has been in Southern California, getting like 1,600 gallons of water at a pop and dropping them on fires. There are two of these aircraft. One of them was taken out by a drone. And those of you looking at the video version of this, we have a couple of pictures of what happened. It looks like the leading edge of the left wing had a drone strike right in the middle of it. You can almost see the outlines of the main body of the drone and dents from the arms of the drone going into this. And that aircraft was grounded. All the other aircraft were temporarily grounded. And it might be a day or more before this aircraft is put back in service. Meanwhile, thousands, and we're not exaggerating here, thousands of homes, cars, other buildings have been damaged or destroyed. And I'm willing to say, in my opinion, more were destroyed that didn't have to be, because these planes were temporarily grounded and this specialized aircraft was taken out of service for days on end.
Last Thursday, a Canadian Air Super Scooper aircraft was conducting fire suppression efforts over the Palisades fire. During those efforts, it collided with a privately owned drone, leaving a 3x6-inch hole in the aircraft. When that happens, all aircraft in the area have to evacuate the area, and we're no longer able to use that technique.
At the Los Angeles office of the FBI is investigating this event, which is not surprising, because as I said before, anything happening in the sky is a federal concern, so it's not surprising the FBI is investigating this. What is surprising is the apparent size of the drone that hit it. Now, we're going to put a picture for those watching the video version of this of the remains of the drone that was recovered by the FBI. And this is a photo from the Los Angeles office of the FBI. And you can see on the side of this drone, it says 249 on it. That is a DJI drone that is 249 grams. And just for comparison, I'm going to show you my drone, which is a DJI drone, a small one, 249 grams, but it should be roughly the same size. We have here my stowed version of a DJI Magic Mini. This is a 2020 model. 249 grams. If you have an average can of soda, that's about 350 grams. So this is less than a can of soda in weight. This is not that much bigger than my head as far as how big it is looking at it from above. And if you're coming at it head on the leading edge of a wing, it looks kind of like this. This, which weighs less than a can of Coke, went straight through the leading edge of this aircraft and damaged the aircraft. You don't have to be large to damage an aircraft. Now, just for comparison, when it comes to bird strikes, airliners are certified to take up to an 8-pound bird on the empennage, on the stabilizer and rudder. I believe those are still the requirements. And a 4-pound bird at 250 knots in the windscreen. So this is way less than 4 pounds. This is roughly a half a pound. So imagine 8 of these at 250 knots could hit the windscreen in front of the pilot or the first officer, the captain of the first officer, and the window would maintain integrity. This is 1/8 the size. It went right through this leading edge of the fire bomber, like a hot knife through butter.
Like hit it. It hit it exactly on the crest of the radius of the leading edge. You know, it's round, so it hit it in the absolute worst spot. A little bit higher or lower, and it would have deflected off in either direction. So, it really is surprising. Now, they didn't cause the airplane to crash, which is things that people have been saying about these drones for a long time. The airplane can take that in stride. Right, but you're not going to fly it anymore after that hit, like we that with that hole in the wing. Even though he could fly around and land safely, you just don't leave the ground with that kind of defect in the airplane.
And
So.
what I have to say next is specifically a message for the person who's flying this drone. First, the FBI is looking for you. And if you're doing this with compatriots of yours, they're looking for your compatriots as well because essentially you violated a federal regulation, and I'm sure that there will be some charges laid against you. Now, here's the message. From the photo we showed you a few seconds ago, it looks like most of the body of the drone was recovered, which means whatever memory chips are inside of that drone were recovered, which means even if they don't have, let's say, live video of the actual flight, they might be able to recover enough information from that remains of the aircraft to pretty much figure out who it was who was flying this, or at least where they took off and landed from. And again, the FBI has a lot of people, a lot of time, and this is a very high profile case. So if you are the person who was directly involved or know the person who was directly involved, by all means, encourage that person or persons to get some legal representation and voluntarily turn themselves in, because I guarantee the FBI won't stop looking.
Yeah, that's a big office too. Los Angeles office is a very big office. I'm familiar with them from my days at the NTSB, and you're right. This is high profile. The governor of the state is hot. The mayor is going to be hot. You know, and it's get a lawyer, get ready. You know, if you touch this thing. There's probably fingerprints on it. So if you've ever had your fingerprints taken, you're in trouble. Right? And if there's any smear of blood or anything, if you cut your finger on those propeller blades or whatever, again, your DNA will come back to you. So today it's very hard to stay invisible. So. And it's unfortunate that the airplane, because of stupidity, had to be grounded and just prolong the fire or damage from the fire. You know, ironically, I was out in California when this fire started. Well, it started before I got to California, but I was out there on Tuesday, and it was already in full swing. I was actually there's a picture of a DC-10 dropping. A load of water on the fire. And I was actually in San Bernardino when that airplane took off to go make its drop. And then after that, I was actually down in the hills, Hollywood Hills. And I was actually right up and personal with the fire because the wind blew it over a hill and came right down beside me, stuck in traffic. The hill was on my right-hand side, and it was on fire right down to the side of the road. And I'll tell you what, that's not a nice feeling.
And just to put a date on this, Tuesday was January 7th, 2025, that this was happening, that you were out there, correct?
Yes.
And for those of you who are not familiar with the geography of Southern California, Southern California is quite an arid place. It's not as lush as you would think looking at palm trees going down a you know, in Beverly Hills or something. It's actually a lot of land, especially hilly land, which because of the dry weather they've been having for months on end, is particularly prone to wildfires. And there's a certain weather condition called Santa Ana winds where you have winds coming through, sometimes hurricane force winds. Now, if there's no fires going on, it's just a heavy windstorm. If you have fires happening for whatever reason, you can have embers being blown for miles and several fires popping up after just one fire starts. And in this case, in the fires in Southern California, it's not one area that's on fire. It's several areas. And a lot of the media has been concentrated across around a place called Pacific Palisades, which is to the western part of Los Angeles, near the Pacific Ocean, adjacent to Beverly Hills and Malibu and all these places you've probably heard about over the years from movies and television shows. And other than celebrities, and yes, celebrities did get houses burned up, there are thousands of normal families who live in these communities who have had their houses and cars and lives completely destroyed by this fire. And getting back to why we're here today, the drone that hit the aircraft. In short, here are the rules. For those of you who don't follow the rules, who own drones, which is most people, I'm not being mean here, I'm just being real. There's on the order of several hundred thousand people, myself included, who actually have a Part 107 drone license allowing us to fly drones for commercial purposes. And it's a sit-down test. You don't even have to have the skills to fly a drone. You don't have to own a drone in order to get a license. And there are many more people who have drones who don't have this education and don't really know the basic rules of the road. And here's one of the basic rules of the road. If there's a fire, don't fly your drone. If you're flying a drone and you hear an airplane in the distance, land the thing. And if you think you're going to get some shots and get on YouTube or whatever with your drone flying up next to a fire, it is against the law. It's dangerous. And in this case, it took out a major piece of firefighting equipment. Now, I do hope the person who did this voluntarily comes forward, because I don't want this person to be found by someone who's not law enforcement, because I can guarantee you there are a lot of very upset people in the Los Angeles area who would like to have a, how should I say it, a frank and open discussion with this person.
To say the least. And in fact, if they do catch him, and we'll talk about what we're looking at here in a minute, but if they do catch him, I hope they use criminal penalties, not just a fine. Because, in fact, I pulled up the law, and multiple laws would cover just what happened. But this isn't the first time some idiots have been flying drones out there trying to catch a good picture of the fires. So, I mean, it defies description. But let's hope. I mean, I was there. I don't even think I know the words to describe the intensity of the fire and how fast it spread. That one that I mentioned in the beginning that happened right in there, right to the right of my car that I was sitting in, because of the wind, it just blew it right down the hill. And that shrub, I've forgotten the name of it. Somebody told me the name of it. It bursts and it's like a fire bush. If you're looking at the bush, it's there and it's just a bush, and then all of a sudden it starts to burn. It's unbelievable. I must assume that there was an ember or something that got into it, but the one that I was looking at on my side just burst into flame, just as that whole hill burst into flame. It's just
and in that part of Southern California, you have a lot of communities that are nestled in hills and mountains all around the LA metropolitan area. So you can have a very heavily built up residential area like Pacific Palisades that's surrounded by essentially undeveloped land, usually mountains and valleys and such. So if you get these fires going into these areas close to the residential areas. Again, you can have embers and whatnot flying over, being pushed by these winds. And once you get several houses or several areas on fire, it could be very, very difficult to knock it down because there are only so many firefighters out there. And as John just mentioned, the wind can shift very suddenly. And what you think is a safe place is suddenly not a safe place. And again, if anyone has been following the news, you've probably seen all sorts of pictures of cars being abandoned, sometimes engines running, because it came upon them so quickly. But you know, let's get back to the aviation aspect of this. This is not something that you need to be an expert in or need to have a drone license to understand that it shouldn't be done. If you're in that local area, I'm sure there's massive amounts of local media who's saying, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other. And again, don't fly drones in this kind of area. And for those of you watching the video version of this, I'm flashing a screen grab from my ForeFlight, which shows that there's a very significant area of Los Angeles. By the way, we're doing this on January 11th. Very significant area of Los Angeles that has a restricted zone from zero from the surface to 7,000 feet that you can't fly anything without FAA permission. And basically only firefighting aircraft are allowed there. Although some drones have built-in geofencing software that keeps them from flying if you have a temporary flight restriction issued by the FAA. There are a lot of drones out there, older drones like the one I own, which were manufactured before this happened. So it's not as easy for the software to keep it from flying in a restricted area. And of course, if you have a home built, not a home built, but one that is put together, not from a manufacturer like DJI, but it's customized. You have your own software in there, your own motors and everything. You don't have the same restrictions built into the software because it's been designed differently. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. If you don't know the rules, just use common sense. I mean, come on. There's emergency equipment. There's firefighters. There's police. There's police helicopters. There's firefighting equipment. Don't fly anything. And let's talk a little bit about the aircraft that was hit. This was a CL-415, which is a Canadian manufacturer and design aircraft specifically designed to do water bombing. And it's been used all over the world. And there's about 60 of them in service in Canada, two of which came down to the United States to help out. And again, like we said before, this is a unique aircraft, one of the largest firefighting aircraft they have out there until you go up to the DC-10 type aircraft. And to have this taken out is going to put a crimp in knocking down these fires.
You know, and we'll never know, and probably the officials may never know, if the loss of this airplane was any way involved in any of the deaths that we've already seen. You know, so that's something that will probably never be determined, but it's really a tragedy that somebody to be out there doing something stupid like this that has such an impact. So let's hope that they find them. But there's 5 separate laws that cover operating a drone like this in circumstances like this. So while the firefighting is on, the FAA automatically will close the airspace all around this, right, down at low level at the very least. And they'll put a TFR on it, which means a restriction to fly, and 1 year in prison or up to $250,000 fine. I hope they opt for the 1 year in prison. An interference with an aircraft in a life-saving mode, which this certainly can be screwed as, can be up to 20 years in prison. And then there's a couple other fines that come on here. And the 107 is up to a $250,000 fine.
And so just a very, very brief review of the laws when it comes to flying. And for those of you in aviation, you know this, but for those who are indirectly in aviation, you own a drone and you're flying it for fun. The laws that apply in the sky are federal laws. The federal government regulates all the sky from 1 inch above the ground to about 60,000 feet is regulated airspace. Some of it is controlled airspace without getting into the details. Regulated airspace that's uncontrolled You can fly the drone up to 400 feet above the ground in most cases. Don't have to talk to FAA, don't have to get any special permission if you're doing it for recreational purposes. In almost all other cases, including flying for commercial purposes, you have to have either a permit to do so, that is a license to fly, or you have to have special permission from the FAA to fly in certain areas or at certain times. One of the certain times that normally you can't fly without FAA permission, no matter what kind of license you have with a drone, is flying at night. Flying a drone is a daytime activity for the most part, unless you have special permission. Flying a drone in anything like a congested area like a city, I'm pretty sure that over most of the LA metropolitan area, 0 to 400 feet, yeah, a lot of areas where you can fly. But if you're within, let's say, 5 miles of an airport, there are several airports in Los Angeles. You have Santa Monica, Van Nuys, LAX, Ontario, etc. You have a much more restricted airspace around there where you're not allowed to fly at all without FAA permission. So, bottom line, if you have a drone and you're flying it for fun, great, do so. You don't have to go get a license to do that. You just have to follow common sense rules and you'll probably be within the federal regulations. If you start doing something that's not common sense, the more likely it is you're violating federal rules.
Yeah, it's really a shame that this happened like that. To lose the ability to drop multiple 1500 gallon loads for 3 days now. Guaranteed that had an impact on that fire.
And
Negative impact.
going forward, this kind of firefighting has been going on for decades using aircraft. This is not going to be the last time there's going to be fires in the LA area or any other metropolitan areas, especially in the Western US. So this is not a one-time thing. And drones are going to be more pervasive in different kinds of capabilities than we even have today. And not even to mention all the other kinds of flying that's going to be happening in and around not just the United States, but around the world. In the next few years, there will be I think, a huge increase in the number of commercial drones being used for package delivery, for what they call advanced air mobility, essentially air taxis. So the airspace in and around major cities might be increasingly crowded with regular traffic at low altitudes, the same kinds of altitudes that commercial and recreational drones fly in. So, word to the wise. If you want to fly a drone and buy a drone, go for it. I'm a big fan of that. And I am a big proponent of that as well. If you want to do so, but do it responsibly. That's all I ask.
Yes, ditto.
And I'm not going to have a second to last word because I've been saying a lot of words this entire show. And I think you get my basic message. Don't do something stupid.
Yes, definitely. Don't fly a drone, personal drone, around the fire. It's, getting a picture is not worth the consequences if things go bad, and this one went bad. It's just a tragedy, and it a tragedy for everybody that's been involved in the fire, and somebody that's operating a drone has just made themselves part of the personal tragedy. So it's indeed unfortunate, but please, everyone else out there, they've sold millions of drones. Stay away from the fire areas. Please fly safely, which means pay attention to the rules. I'm at a loss for words to say with this because this is just, it's beyond common sense. It's probably the ultimate example of stupidity. But before I go off and get myself in trouble, let's just say thanks for listening.
Thank you for checking out our show. We really value our listeners and subscribers. Our podcast gets ranked by you and how much you like it. So please give us 5 stars in your podcast platform.
We want to keep in contact with you. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, YouTube.
You can email the show at flightsafetydetectives@gmail.com. By the way, if you're on YouTube, we're really working on growing the channel, and it helps if you all send in comments. Please do that, and we read all the comments.
And be sure to subscribe. Remember, if you're in the market for aviation insurance, you can save 5% with Avemco just by mentioning our show. visit them at www.avemco.com. That's it for this episode of the Flight Safety Detective. Until the next episode, fly safe.